like to share with you my memories of Jesus. When I was in seclusion in 1990-1991, many memories were brought to me, and I was supported to reconnect with them. Amongst these was some information about the life of Jesus. This was the beginning of my conscious reconnection with the entity known as Jesus. What I knew in seclusion, what I sensed, what I reawakened to, was the start of this memory. In seclusion, I innately knew that Jesus had not been a single soul upon this planet. My senses, my body, my energy told me that he had been a composite soul. I knew that meant he was a seven, meaning I knew that there were seven souls, shall we say, inside his body. In 1994, a few years later, when I was ready to receive the details of the map, the details of my ascension vision, I was also ready to remember more details about the life and entity of Jesus. I knew then that he had been a three, a triad, as I knew to call it. I immediately remembered what is a triad. The composition of a triad is three souls in one body. One consciousness or soul plays the exclusive function of mind. One plays the exclusive function of heart speech, and one plays the exclusive function of body. In a sense, the body aspect goes pre-conscious into an amoeba-like state, acquiescing or relinquishing its conscious presence within the triad. It offers itself up, in a sense, as a base into which the speech, heart, and the mind can enter in order for them to act themselves upon the planet. The function of the mind is like an umbilical cord connecting up, keeping the being, the entity, on track with its purpose, feeding it, fueling it, energy to keep it on purpose, totally aligned. The function of the speech heart is a very challenging one in a different sense, for it is the speech heart that connects with the physical world. It's the speech heart that makes relationships. It's the speech heart that communicates the divine knowing onto the planet, while the body anchors and supports this aspect. I remembered at the time of remembering that Jesus, alive on the planet, had been a triad, that Jesus was the same configuration that incarnated seven times in different guises, meaning that the core triad, which had been Jesus, had been also Krishna, Muhammad, Buddha, and three others. I came to understand later why the seven of these had appeared different. It wasn't simply that they incarnated in a different time, a different culture, thus being perceived through different conscious eyes. It also was that the configuration of souls around the core triad changed each and every time. There was purpose in the same energy coming in seven times, but looking different. This was to anchor the energy in many places across many times. As religions begin to delve deeper into their message, they will discover there is the same voice. Several years later, I remembered again the aspect of seven. I was ready to know deeper into Jesus' lifetime. I remembered that Jesus had in fact been a three, a triad. I remembered simultaneously that he was a seven. What this meant was, there were three souls effecting his body, effecting his functions, effecting his active participation in the physical plane. In addition, there were three souls that acted like, shall we say, personal assistants to each of these three core souls or consciousnesses. They acted like stoppers supporting and encouraging and holding in the three core souls into the triad configuration. This was necessary, as these three core souls were so aligned with divinity that their natural flow of energy would have had them pop out back into source. One of these supporting souls supported the function of the mind. It acted as a fortification of the umbilical cord that extended up from Jesus into the divine source. Another of these supporting souls supported the function of the heart speech. It supported and encouraged and nurtured the core soul, which was the function of heart speech, to stay in the body and complete its task. A third supporting soul supported the function of the body, again assisting it and nurturing it so that it could fulfill its task. A fourth and final supporting soul was, shall we say, outside this body, this energetic configuration, though only slightly. It acted as a valve, as a gauge, monitoring the flow of energy into Jesus, ensuring enough energy to flow into the planet, but not too much. The history of the Earth is like a play. If you detach yourself for just a moment and imagine it as a play, you'll become aware of scenes and characters. If you keep in mind that the plot, the purpose, the invention of the play was to return all energy that came into the space-time continuum back home in the simplest possible way, then you can see and understand all of the scenes that have taken place within history. You can also understand how new characters have been introduced into the play at various points in time. There have been times in the past when the play required a major shift back onto track. At these times, it was as if a new character was introduced, or series of characters, to flood into the planet a certain frequency of energy, a precise beam of light, in order to influence the events on the planet back onto track. Jesus was one of several of these. There have been numerous triads throughout time, though relatively speaking to the number of incarnations of souls over time, there have been few. At this point in time on the planet, there are only single souls. There are no triads, though many of the souls which have existed within triads over time are here together on the planet now. Some have met, though still asleep to this. Others are soon to meet, to reenact the energetic balance or beam or force that existed within their entity when they existed on the planet as a triad. The reason triads were introduced to the planet was that when a major shift was required to take place within the plot of the play, it was recognized that a single soul could not act this out alone. On rare occasions, such as Shakespeare, there were single souls surrounded by such huge, complicated configurations of oversouls to hold them into place. But that was rare. For the most part, when a very strong and powerful character was required to be introduced into the plot to shift the energy of the play, a triad was introduced. The reason for this was that three souls inside one body could ensure that the being, the personage, functioned in a physical sense, was active in the world, and stayed connected to its purpose, to source. It is important to understand that there have only ever been single souls or triads incarnate on the planet. A dyad is too unstable. A foursome is too much energy. The being Jesus was a combination of the dyad of the fourth dimensional gatekeeper, or the fourth dimensional god, and another energy whose purpose was to cool them out. If the fourth dimensional gatekeeper, who is the nearest source or access or connection to divine energy within the cosmic birth canal, were to have incarnated, come into physical form on the planet, That light, the potency, the amplitude of that energy would have fried the entire planet. In order for that package of memory to present itself onto the earth, in other words, to pierce through the veil that sliced between all energy present in the Wheel of Time and the fourth dimensional gatekeeper and beyond, it was necessary for that energy to pierce through the veil and present itself here on the earth and yet be cooled out slightly so that all the energy on the planet could endure it. Two things happened. The dyad of the fourth dimensional gatekeeper, or the fourth dimensional god in simple terms, was coupled with an energy which within my culture would be named Archangel Gabriel. These three souls or consciousnesses grouped together to form a triad and were introduced into the space-time continuum, being birthed as Jesus. The difference between Jesus and other beings on the planet then was that all the other beings on the planet existed within a realm of limitation. The primary description of this would be little people with a veil slicing across their crowns to block them from their connection to a higher source. The simple definition of Jesus would be a huge golden beam of light projecting all the way to source and down again into the earth. Several months ago, I was asked into the experience of Jesus in order to understand more what his life had been like. I realized then that most of the accounts written in books since Jesus' lifetime have been of perceptions of his nature and his teachings. They have been accounts, perceptions, interpretations of his public image. Even the disciples knew his public-private image. No one knew his private self. One of the key awarenesses that I was given in this process was that Jesus was not, in fact, a physical form. He was a bank of light. He had no body in the human sense. He was more like a holograph. Jesus was a vertical shaft of golden light, uninterrupted by the veil that other humans knew to slice across their heads. In order for Jesus to function on the planet, and there really are no words for this, it's simply energy, move the energy through his hands is what I'm shown. Emanate the energy through his being, primarily flooding it from hands. It was necessary for him to present himself as somewhat little. He needed to step himself down to be within the confines, the state of limitation of perception of the other humans. In other words, he needed to create himself into the form of humans to make himself of their own language. What this meant was that he was in fact a vertical beam of light, endless in both directions. And he presented himself as a little human. The intention of Jesus' lifetime, when it was decided to create a triad in the name of Jesus, to bring the energy of source down through the dyad of the fourth dimensional gatekeeper, coupled with the cooling energy, the base energy, the anchor of Archangel Gabriel into physical form on the planet. The intention was to bring a bank of energy in to Earth time, to the time-space continuum, and to gently dissipate it over a period of approximately 80 years. This was very clearly designed, very simple concept, very clear intention. The plan was this. Through cooling the dyad of the fourth dimensional gatekeeper, to bring in a calibrated package of energy of light from source, to gently over time dissipate it, spread it, feed it out across the planet, for it to enter in inside of other entities, humans, creatures, aspects of energy, to unite with their own flames inside, the somewhat dormant, to trigger and connect with those flames, to ignite them, to spark them into a gentle glow which would grow brighter, to evoke a brilliant light upon the planet which would awaken all from slumber, building enough energy on the planet in the name of light to burn through the veil and fly back home. The time of Jesus was in fact intended to be the time of ascension. With Jesus' premature departure from the planet, his energy was in fact left, the bank of energy which he carried with the intention of dissipating over a very long time, was in fact exploded out in the final moments of his lifetime. It was much more abrupt and potent than was intended. The effect of this was like energy being left, but without instructions. It was exploded out, penetrating hearts rather than wills. The intention was for the light to enter through people's bellies and to connect with the flame inside their wombs. Instead, the light penetrated hearts and sometimes shattered them, left people confused. This was not the plan. This is what happened. Two 2,000 years later, it is time for the return of this energy in full force. This time, it happens differently, though there are some similarities. The three souls, consciousnesses, who were the core energies responsible for the functioning of Jesus, the disbursement of his bank of energy, his bank of light, are in fact incarnate upon the planet now and safely guided. The four consciousnesses, souls, energies who were their chaperones, their personal assistants, their primary support, are as well incarnate upon the planet now. The seven of these energies will unite and regain consciousness. There will in fact be an embodiment of the Christ energy as per the first time on the planet, though this time not in one body. 'Twill be seven individual souls acting in harmony. At the same time, Jesus, as many of us know, was not a body, not a being, at least not exclusively. Jesus was light, divine light, available to all of us. And so, the return of Jesus, second coming, is also the flooding of this light into this planet. The purpose now is precisely the same as it was the first time. For this light to enter in, pierce through the veil, reach down, deep down, connect inside each womb within each person, each creature, each aspect of energy within the wheel of time. To remind it, it is truth. To stoke its fire, to warm it, to assure it, to nurture it, to empower it, to support it to glow and glow brighter, enabling each being to stand in his or her or its own memory and act from it. For several years I've known to refer to this as the turning inside out. It means that each of us become our souls. We let go, we let fall away our incarnation, our identity of a certain nature, a certain personality, a certain gender, a certain culture, a certain color, a certain height. We let that fall away and allow ourselves to be visible again within this world as our essence, our soul, which permeates all incarnations, our through line, our direct line back to Source again. Several years ago, I had a simple vision. I saw the planet, seeing it from the outside, from quite far away. It was very dark, which seemed quite normal. Then gradually, little lights, white lights, like miniature Christmas bulbs, turned on. Very few. And then more and more of them. And as there came to be more, they came to be connected. Lines, strings, strands ran between them, linking them all together. Like they were holding hands across the planet. When I was in seclusion in 1990-1991, I was shown the one challenge that faces humanity now is this. In every moment, we are presented with opportunities to choose and choose again our return into Divine Source. Sometimes these choice points are obvious. Some are less so. Some are disguised. It is for us to remember discernment. On a simple, very practical sense, this is quite easy. To begin to recognize when a thought or an interaction or an activity creates a drain in my energy, and to discern or recognize when a thought or an activity or an interaction inspires me and fuels me and expands me and fills me with creative energy, with light. And upon beginning to be able to discern the difference, to make a conscious choice embodied in all the cells of my own being, to choose only activities and thoughts and interactions that fuel myself towards the Source, knowing that all else will unfold behind me.